We'll go ahead and get started and jump in. And if they're able to join tonight, fantastic. And if not, you know, it is what it is. But wanted to take tonight. I know May is commonly Mental Health Awareness Month, that type of thing. And so wanted to take tonight and kind of talk about the stigma that's surrounds mental health. I've been having, you know, conversations with various people over the course of the last few days, last couple weeks, about different circumstances, different situations. And, you know, I think that there's always been a stigma around mental health. And I think it's been a challenge to break that. I think there's been a challenge for people to understand and to accept that it's okay to not be okay. If that makes sense. And I think oftentimes we tend to struggle within ourselves because, especially as men, it's taboo for men, right? It's taboo for men to talk about, oh, we got mental health issues. We need to go talk to us, go talk to a therapist. We need to, address things in our past. We're dealing with depression. Like, as men, you're supposed to just, quote unquote, man up. You're supposed to deal with it. You're supposed to, be the strong one. You're supposed to, what you mean depression? Like, what you talking about depression? And then, my experience with people that I'm close to is even more so in, the minority community in those homes. It's even more taboo, to be addressing mental health issues and concerns. And then from the church perspective, everything's a demon, everything's this, and y'all pray about it, it's a spirit. Well, no, sometimes you just need a therapist, that's the reality behind it. So wanted to take a minute tonight and, definitely chat about that, because I think it's important. I think it's important that we as a society, we as individuals begin to break that stigma, and that we acknowledge and help other people acknowledge that it's okay to not be okay. I don't know what are your thoughts in reference to that?
Well, it's absolutely, it goes back to, I think, a couple months ago. We had maybe about a year ago almost now, we had a podcast about taking care of yourself, basically, so you can take care of other people. And when you talk about, like, mental health, like, if you can't get right, you got to get yourself right so you can be able to take care of other people, and making sure you fill up yourself first, making sure you're okay. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those things where it's tougher for males, I feel, because you have this sense of ego, sense of pride that you build up where you're supposed to be dominant, like you said, and people really, they care about other people's opinions and thinking how they would look at them instead of just going and getting the help you need to be able to heal. But mental health is definitely an issue that needs to be addressed and taken care of so that you're good and you can be able to take care of other people.
Definitely. And I think, I think when you say that, it's more difficult for men, or, not that men necessarily have, some different type of, challenge with it, as far as, like, that they're more susceptible than women or anything to that effect, but our society is kind of, as men, like, you get taught, like, you don't cry, you don't show emotion, you don't this, you don't that, and so you grow up being taught that as a man, you don't show any emotion, and then when it's time for you as a husband and as a father to show emotion, you don't know how to show emotion. When it's time for you to deal with those struggles in life, those moments that really broke you down, that really a good cry would help you out, you bottle everything up, and that can turn into a major negative. And so that stigma, it's almost not accepted for, men to acknowledge these types of problems that they face. So, you know, I mean, 1 in 4 individuals are affected by mental some type of mental illness. 1 in 30 individuals experience PTSD. Children with anxiety disorders are least likely to receive treatment, honestly. 8.6 million adults have suicidal thoughts. Suicide is the third leading cause of death. Just various stats that I was looking at throughout the week. But, you know, in veterans' case, 22 veterans a day essentially commit suicide, specifically on the veteran side of the house. You know, and one staggering statistic that you can look at, if you look at the numbers and you look at who has access to treatment and who not just has access, but who capitalizes on that access, people of color, they actually have less access to care, you know. I know I was talking to an individual not too long ago, and one of the things that she was talking about was that being able to go to a therapist that looked like her, that had her experiences, that, you know, and while I can't relate as far as, you know, the whole, you know, being a person of color, you know, I can't relate to that necessity, but I can relate to the fact of having someone that experiences very similar things, being able to talk to them, because as a veteran, you know, if I'm dealing with PTSD and I'm dealing with these various struggles from combat, and I go talk to somebody who's never experienced combat before, whether they're, you know, a licensed therapist, a social worker, you know, a psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever the case may be, there's a connection that still isn't there because they truly don't understand what I've experienced, you know. And so I think that's important to recognize that, you know, if you don't have access to the care, then it's very difficult to begin to change the stigma within your community, you know.
And it gives it an opportunity to just fester and just not, and when you don't deal with it, mm-hmm. and you don't have those avenues, I agree 100%. And it goes to like the dual diagnosis, like you were talking about with vets and stuff. It goes with addiction and people with drug addiction and those kind of issues. Handling those things, a lot of times people with addiction issues have things like depression or anxiety and things that you don't really see on the outside of people, but it goes over into that part of their life where they just need to deal with both of those issues. And it's sad because we don't really have, well, I'm talking for only in right now, we have avenues for people to get help, right? But a lot of people don't know those avenues,
right? And not just for Olean though. I mean, just in general.
But I was just speaking like.
No. I know that. I just, but you know, on a larger scale, it is. You know, it's a problem in several areas, in several communities, where there may be opportunities and avenues for people to get help, but they, like you said, they don't know how to get help. You know, I've had people, you know, contact me, or, you know, they've contacted the church and like, hey, what do we do? Where can we go? And, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but within the realm of the Pentecostal church, for years, the norm has not been therapy. The norm has not been, let's acknowledge mental health. The norm has been, it's a spirit, let's pray it off you. It's a demon, it's a this, it's a that, you know, and oh, you just need to pray and, you know, to take scripture out of context and all this other stuff. And it's like, listen, you know, sometimes, that's not what it is. Sometimes you just need to sit down with a therapist. You need to work through your problems. You have to be able to acknowledge the problem. And, you know, if all we ever do is misdiagnose, essentially, like I was saying, from a church perspective, right, and continue to teach within our communities that type of perspective, you're not helping anybody. You're gonna continue a cycle. And they might look okay for a little while, but then when, you know, when really rubber meets the road, when they're alone with their problems again, what's going to happen? When they're alone with the situation, when they're alone with the circumstance. And the thing is we've got to stop making mental health such a negative. You know what I mean? It's not a negative to go get help. It's not a negative to acknowledge you're struggling with depression, that you're struggling with. And going back to, like you said, speaking to Olean, right? It's a small community here. So if, you know, you're in corporate America or you're in this profession or that profession and you go seek help and, you know, you're going to therapy because you're dealing with PTSD or dealing with depression or anything, you know, anxiety and these types of things, now all of a sudden you carry this negative stigma even into your job sometimes and then into the community, you know, because it's not looked at as something that, you know, hey, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay. It's positive to go get help to deal with these things, to be able to move forward. It's looked at as a negative. And so now you're carrying this perspective around with you, and it makes life even that much more harder for individuals. You know, you have people looking at you different on the job. You have people in the community looking at you different because, oh, so-and-so is dealing with that. Did you hear what he had to do? You hear what he's going to the doctor for? Oh, he couldn't deal with his marriage, so he's got to go talk to this therapist and that therapist and, you know, whatever, whatever. And we don't create a safe environment for people to truly get help.
Absolutely.
You know, it's definitely unfortunate, in my mind, that the process is like that.
Right.
You know, we have, like, suicide, right? Suicide. It's commonly preached, taught, talked about how selfish suicide is, right? That's usually what we hear. Like, oh, it's so selfish, you don't think about anybody else. You know, you don't think of, you're only thinking about yourself and your way out, and you know, you don't think about how it's going to affect the people you leave behind and the loved ones you leave behind. And I think there is some truth to that, but I think also that there's a moment where you almost have to take a step back and really kind of evaluate some things. So individuals that I've talked to that have dealt with dealing, you know, that have dealt with suicidal thoughts and have dealt with, you know, coming to face with those thoughts and even planning out the act. In their mind, it wasn't that they were not taking other people into consideration. It was the exact opposite. It was, you know, I wasn't being selfish. I was actually thinking about those other people because I didn't want them to be burdened with my problems. I didn't want to be, you know, an extra weight to them. I didn't want to, you know, be a negative aspect of their life. I didn't want to bring them down. I didn't want to, you know, so I'm going, the easiest way and best thing that I can do for them is to remove myself completely. Like that becomes the thought process. And so for several, it's not thought of as a selfish act. They're actually taking other people into consideration, you know, because they don't know how to ask for help, because we've created a system and a society that has such a negative stigma that, like, you know, oh, you're on suicide watch, and, you know, all these negative connotations. And I mean, no, yeah, you need to be watched. You need to have people that care about you, making sure you're good, and, you know, X, Y, Z. But again, we've created such a negative stigma around it that people don't want to be a burden to anybody else. They don't want to be a problem. Like, who wants to deal with that? You know?
I guess that's something that I wanted to share about how, some instances, I experienced firsthand where I was trying to get my friend help. He definitely wasn't in the right state of mind, and the only way the hospital would keep him was if he was a harm to others or himself. And so, like, in order for them to help him, they made him, like, basically say he was gonna hurt himself or someone else instead of just getting him the help when he was asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another problem, too, is that, like, we need a better system to help deal with these issues, because they're 24/7 issues. There's hotlines that people could call, but, like, we need other institutions like hospitals that would be able to take care of people when they really, really need somebody to help.
No, definitely, definitely. Danny, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Danny.
Sorry, I'm late, guys.
What were you doing, Daniel?
I was taking care of our little kids and making sure that they had football season this year and making sure that they're football in school. So I was taking care of our little kids.
Thank you, Danny. Gotta have football.
But you know, it's like you said, there's got to be a better system in place. You know, in Florida, it's, you know, referenced as the Baker Act, right? You can have, like, I think it's two family members can essentially say, hey, this person is a harm to themselves, and they'll hold the person for, I think, like, 2 or 3 days. And you know, I know New York has, you know, something similar, and
so it's
there's that, and I mean, I get it, and I understand that sometimes that's a necessity. But I think for me, the problem that I have is that once they come out on the other side of that, they carry that negative stigma with them that, oh, you were suicidal at one point. You know, like, it's such a defining moment in their life that they can't get past it. It's like this negative cloud that follows them. And whereas really could be looked at as a positive, like, yeah, you were at one point, but now look at you, man. You're doing better. You're focused. Like, yeah, stuff might not be working out the way you want it to yet, you know, but you're putting one foot in front of the other. You're taking one step after the other, and you're making progress. And we don't pitch mental health in a positive, progressive way. We pitch it as, like, this big negative diagnosis that, you know, people can't have positive progression from. Like, it just, it's a roadblock and just stops them from moving forward, whether professionally or personally. And it's terrible to me that we look at it like that, because that prevents people from wanting to reach out and get help, you know? Myself and a couple individuals were talking about the veteran suicide numbers. And individual was like, you know, well, there's got to be, you know, better things in place. You know, maybe, you know, someone can greet the veterans when they move into the area, you know, because the VA, you know, knows that they're there. And I said, well, the VA only knows that they're there if they let the VA know they're there. You know, it's not like, you know, this memo goes out saying, hey, you got veterans moving in. You know, nothing to that effect. But individuals have got to want to reach out to these different organizations. But if I'm going to reach out to this organization and the individual I'm going to talk to doesn't understand what I'm going through, it's going to stop me from wanting to reach out. And then, you know, the flip side, well, you know, what about buddy checks? What about wellness checks? You know, have people call them and check on them and see if they're doing okay and talk to them. And that's cool too. But if there's not a relationship established, then how successful is the conversation going to be? How open is the conversation going to be until the relationship's established? So if you're not sincerely trying to establish that relationship, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like this catch-22. And, you know, so there's that type of thing that is approached as well. And then again, like I said, there's such a negative stigma approach to it that it's like, man, I can't let anybody know I'm struggling with this. I got to keep going on. You know, most of the people we come across every day that are smiling, laughing, and joking and having a good time and look successful probably are dealing with some type of mental illness or some type of depression or, you know, or have at some point in their life, you know.
You know, as somebody who works in this field, I can tell you there's two areas in mental health that really need some focus, especially in this area, in Cattaraugus County. And that's much like I was sitting here trying to catch up and listen to what you guys were saying. It's the preventive mental health. Let's meet you where you're at, and get you the help you need right now, so that it doesn't get to a Baker Act call, which in here is I think it's 545 call in New York, but you know them type of calls. So you don't get to that point, or you don't get to a mental health stay, or you don't get to a behavior health stay. So let's meet you where you're at and really try to connect with you. And then after that after that call is happening, let's say it does happen, the aftercare, much like you talked about, what are we doing to prevent that again, right? So what put you in the hospital at first, and how can we work around them barriers so we can make you successful, so you don't go back? But it's funny, this came up today because I was just in a meeting with Cattaraugus County this morning, and we're running into issues in mental health with the workforce. Every mental health agency in Cattaraugus County right now is having trouble filling open positions. And that's an issue because we have a high rate of mental health illness in Cattaraugus County, and the fact that everybody's having a problem filling openings is an issue for us. But one of the issues that I always talk to them guys about is young, inspirational counselors, young, fresh ideas, different ways to approach people, different schools of thought in these agencies go a long way. Approach an 18-year-old or 16-year-old or 15-year-old the way you approach a 30, 40, 50-year-old or something like that. Right. And what we have is a lot of older mental health professionals who are very good at their career and have done the community a really good service. But reaching that younger generation is a challenge for them. And so the recruitment of young mental health professionals in this area, I think, would go a long way in one, fighting that stigma, right? It really helping the people that have been diagnosed with mental health fight that stigma, and two, give them a new, fresh way of coping with their diagnosis and putting it in that positive light, putting it in that different perspective that's on their level that they can understand and that they can relate to, and having them open conversation. So there's a variety of different things that you know needs to be worked on from the mental health standpoint, because if there's ever a year in which mental health has become a topic of conversation for underfunding, it's this year with COVID. You can see it all over the place. It has brought it out in people, and it's an issue that needs to be addressed.
Well, I know
on a variety of levels.
Yeah, I know that one of the big conversations, even early on during the pandemic, was the isolation with people, and because for many people, the way that they would combat whatever their, you know, mental health struggle was or maintain their sanity was that social interaction. That was a way for them to kind of maintain. And, you know, when you remove that, now people are alone with their thoughts. And sometimes that can be detrimental, because if people don't know how to deal with their thoughts and deal with their anxieties and deal with their struggles, then, you know, that cycle, whatever it may be, whatever they latch onto, you know, becomes even that much more powerful. I know for those that are watching that are gamers, a lot of gamers, you know, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, when they game, and you know, there's an entire community that they're playing these games with and talking to, and people that, you know, they interact with that are across the country and even internationally sometimes, that they may never meet face to face, but they develop a bond with these people and, you know, these other individuals, and are able to talk about real life, real world, deep conversations and issues and situations, and it's a form of almost a form of therapy for them. You know, it's a release for them. It's a safe place for them. But people that were accustomed to that outside social interaction, so to speak, you know, when the pandemic hit, it was like you could really start seeing people. It was chopping away at some people. And still has, you know, over the course of the last year. We were talking to somebody earlier today, and you know, on my job, and you know, she had made the statement. She was like, "I was going nuts at the house. I had to come back to work. Like, I don't like just being at the house. Yeah, I had to come back." Or you know, another individual was like, "I was just, you know, I worked and relaxed in the same room, so there was no longer a safe place." You know, and so when you start removing the safe places, you know, that adds to that mental health pressure, so to speak. You know, so yeah, no, definitely it showed a huge crack in the system, for lack of better words.
And when you think about mental health, you have to think, and especially where we're at now, and coming out of the pandemic and moving into the new world that we're moving in. Had a conversation, had the same conversation with a school official who works in special education, and our conversation around mental health was developed of not so much of it was a kind of an interesting conversation of how far did people regress, right, during COVID, and what's it take to bring them back up to where they were mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before you can move forward. So I don't think when you talk about mental health and you talk about coming out of this pandemic, we also have to talk about the regression. People regressed, and it's okay. It's not nothing, anything that anybody, you know, is ashamed of or anything like that, mm-hmm. but it happened because you were stuck in the house.
Right.
You lost interaction. You know, when you might have been used to going to day programs, you know, mental health day programs, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. Now you've had nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you instantly start to take a step back. You know, there are some people are used to going to veteran programs, and the veteran programs got shut down, and that was their only outlet. That were right. Their only friends. That were their only social interaction. So there's a natural regression. In somebody's mental stability when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So now you spend, as you're coming out of the pandemic, you have to spend time, resources, and money to bring them back to, you know, where they still feel that sense of security again, in that sense of belonging again, before you can make them strides forward again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a byproduct of the pandemic and a byproduct of what happened. It's something that needs to be, you know, out there to say, you know, it's okay.
Right.
It's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're awfully quiet, Ezra.
I was just listening. I that makes sense where the pandemic shed light on people's circumstances, just like I was talking, not only with the veterans, like with the people in addiction, they couldn't go mm-hmm. to their meetings and stuff.
Yep.
Just like it's the same exact thing, and thank God for Zoom and stuff like that for people. But it's not the same as human like interaction. It's not the face to face interaction that we need as human beings to express our feelings and have that relation with other people. We were like locked away and had no life. I mean, we met each other during COVID, Dr. Harvey, so that was pretty cool, but still, I like to be around people I dwell to that, so it was a little hard for me even, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I think one thing, too, that you know, mental health should never be dictated by wealth. You know, being able to have access to programs, treatments, you know, whatever the case may be, mental health shouldn't be about wealth. And I think sometimes, and in several communities, it is a wealth issue, unfortunately. And so many people have things that go unaddressed because our society has made mental health a wealth issue. And it's you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, we definitely need to, as a society, as a community, we have to find a way to kind of work around that, you know. I get that, you know, these various programs and treatments, they, you know, they cost money. You know, I get that, you know, 100%. But there's ways to make it happen. I mean, there's ways to, you know, to do various different things. And, you know, do I have all the answers right here? No, I don't have all the answers right in front of me. But I know several nonprofit organizations that are willing to work within communities to help offset that cost and help create access, you know, for individuals. And that in itself is a huge start. And I think oftentimes people, you know, communities have a hard time starting something. They want everything established and just ready made, and, you know, let's put it in the microwave for 2 minutes and hit start and we're good. And sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you actually gotta, you know, mix the eggs, the milk, and the flour, and, you know, get the butter and you know, whatever. I mean, sometimes that's how it is. I mean, you know, if I'm getting greens, I don't want the can of Morning Glory. You know, that's not the greens that I want. You know what I mean? It isn't. And I think when it comes to mental health in our communities, we can't take the easy way out. You know, we can't take the microwave approach. And I think a lot of times we want that. Or if we feel it doesn't affect us personally, we pretend that it's not there. We pretend that it doesn't affect our communities.
I think mental health and payment for mental health is a two-prong. It's kind of a two-legged duel, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're wealthy or you have a little bit of money, you can obviously afford some better programs and better providers, mm-hmm. things like that. But yet, I can tell you from somebody who's in it every day that the majority of the programs, the majority of the groups, the majority of the programs, the majority of counseling services and in-home services and things like that, they're covered strictly by Medicaid.
Okay.
So you have this population, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's, I would say 90% of the population's services are funded by Medicaid. Well, you have to meet the requirements for Medicaid in order to maintain Medicaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order for you to get 90% of the services, that's where you need to be. This other 10% of the services over here, you can self-pay for them, right? And there might be your top-end professionals who are on their own. But the majority of the services are over here in Medicaid, and that's because New York State regulates them and pays for them. And the only way they can pay for them is through Medicaid dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So really, a lot of the people that get, when we talk about it in our committee meetings, I call them the people that fall through the cracks, right? They don't necessarily have this to pay, mm-hmm. right? But yes, they're a little bit more, they make a little bit more than to qualify for Medicaid. So where do they go, right? And that's where I believe our provider agencies in the area can fill in that gap, right? Like, and I think they do a great job of that, of filling in that gap for mm-hmm. the middle. But make no doubt about it, if you qualify for Medicaid, you have more mental health services available to you than anybody else. So
Because you have easier access because you don't have to pay out of pocket for it. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's available to you, and of no charge. I know people that come through our agency all the time who move from different states for the actual services.
Okay.
That we offer. Because they qualify for Medicaid and they want the services for their loved ones. So they come to New York State because you don't get that same level of service in other states. You don't get that same level of service through Medicaid in other states. Okay. New York State and California have the Cadillac. If you got Medicaid, you got the Cadillac of services. We're gonna give it to you. So okay. It's that middle group right there where I think the agencies in the Cataracts County area do a great job of filling in that gaps and really trying to make inroads into the community. But right. You know, when we talk about it, I don't want to always get caught up in the people who have money, because they only make up 10%. The other 90% are sitting over here.
Well, and the other aspect, too, I think that we have to keep in mind, whether you have access to services or not, you have to use them, and you have to know where and how to seek them out. You know, sometimes, for some people, that's very easy. Even if the information is readily available, for other people, it's not easy because of the stigma that's been wrapped up with mental health. They don't want to be, you know... They don't want to be associated with some type of mental health diagnosis, you know, so they avoid trying to get that help. Now, let me ask you guys this. Do you think that how we view ourselves, look at ourselves, love ourselves, directly correlates with how we treat other people and approach other aspects of our life?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I would, you know, I would want to encourage people. I mean, there's... In my mind and things that I've been exposed to, I think there's little things that you can kind of do on a day-to-day basis to kind of help yourself with that, you know, that self-care. Because I think sometimes if you get so caught up in the issues of life or, you know, killing yourself for a job that honestly would post your position inside of 24 hours if you, you know, if you fell over dead, they would have somebody in your seat in less than 2 weeks, you know.
Have a $30,000 payment away.
You know, but
what you should do is, you know what I do every morning? I look myself right in the mirror and tell myself I'm going to win big today. I'm going to kick today's butt.
Positive affirmations. Yeah. Positive affirmations. You know, stop comparing yourself to other people. Because at the end of the day, you know, your call is not a conference call. We've talked about that before. Like, what you're created to do, what your purpose is, isn't anybody else's. Stop comparing yourself to other people. You know, and remember that your value, you know, as a person, your value isn't based on how you look. It isn't based on, you know, whether you're popular today or tomorrow or, you know, whatever the case may be. That doesn't define your value, you know. Allow yourself to make mistakes. You can't grow if you don't make mistakes. Like, I think sometimes we're too hard on ourselves when we make those mistakes. And, you know, I say, you know, don't worry about other people's opinions, because the opinions... I don't want opinions of other people, but I do have a small select group of people that I allow to speak into my life and that I allow to give me critique and criticism, because it's going to help me grow. Iron sharpens iron. I got to have that friction. I can't be surrounded by a bunch of people that tell me I'm great all the time, because all the time I'm not great. I have to acknowledge, you know, my shortcomings. But I think in doing all that, you know, you could ask yourself, you know, are you getting enough sleep every day? Are you eating well enough? You know... Are you exercising? Have you taken time for yourself? Whatever that means. If that means reading a book, going for a walk, playing a video game, watching a movie, you know, are you spending time with the people that you love and that are important to you? Like, I think those things are a good starting point to kind of change your personal view and your personal perception of your situation. I'm not saying it's the end all be all or the, you know, the magic wand. You know, I start and end my day with prayer. That's me and my spiritual walk. I start and end my day with prayer. But I also, You know, I fill myself with a lot of positive affirmations. Like, you know, people, well, what do you bring to the table? Bro, I bring the table. Like, that's we're going to start there. I bring the table. That's the first thing that I bring. We can worry about setting it after I set the table up. And I just, you know, I just approach things that way. Now, on the inside, sometimes I'm like, man, I got this going on and this going on and I can't deal with this. And I just want to stick my head in the sand and hope it all goes away and go home and just go to bed and wake up and try it again tomorrow. And, you know, we're all going to have days like that. Don't let those days turn into weeks and months without talking to somebody.
I try to wake up every morning and start my day with, you know, I listen. Some people read. I listen to positive motivational stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Every morning. So I start my morning every, you know, sometimes 5 a.m., sometimes 6 a.m. with that. That's how I start my morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I get myself ready for the morning. But, you know, one of the things, you know, you got to take care of yourself in order. If you're not taking care of you, you can't take care of anybody else.
Right.
You got to take care of you first. You know, your mental health, your physical health, all that stuff. And, you know, one of the things that I always say and that motivates me all the time is I always look around,
mm-hmm,
and ask myself in any group of people, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. Because if I'm the smartest person in the room, then I'm hanging out with a whole bunch of people that I don't need to be hanging out with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where my motivation comes from. And in order to hang out with the people that you want to hang out with, you got to take care of yourself. You can't show up looking sloppy or talking. You know, you can with some people, but if you want to further yourself, that's not how you're going. But
mm-hmm.
I always tell people, if you find yourself in a room full of people, sit back and observe. And if you're the smartest one in that room, get the heck out that room, because that ain't the right room for you.
You know, and just, you know, spending time with people, man, you spending time with people, listening to people, observing people, you're going to know what they're about. You're going to know where they're at. You're going to know what their goals are, what they're thinking about, how they want to approach things. Are you guys on the same page? You know, and sometimes you'll find that person that's what you need to kind of help keep you grounded, or, you know, give you that extra kick to get you moving when you start slipping, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I like to, you know, you brought up listening to motivational, different motivational speakers or, you know, inspirational speakers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with who C.T. Fletcher is. Okay. For those that are watching, listening, that aren't familiar with C.T. Fletcher, he's a power lifter, and he is quite vulgar, and he's very colorful in his conversation, but he's sincere about it. Like, it's just who he is. And I know anytime I'm getting ready to go to the gym, I throw that in. Like, I'll listen to him, but he's got a pretty solid testimony and story. And there's all kinds of people that, you know,
Johnson.
What's that?
Inky Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Washington has a good motivational talk. You go to the barbershop, you're going to get cut.
There's no, I think the top motivational speaker right now is probably, that I listen to on a daily basis. You know, I mean, there's tons of them out there,
mm-hmm,
but Eric Thomas and probably Les Brown is one of my all-time favorites.
I like Les Brown. Yeah.
I'll turn on Les. How could you have a bad day when you listen to Les, right?
There's who is it? Gary Vaynerchuk? Vaynerchuk is how to spell his last name. But he's another one that just, he's like, yeah, listen, like, it's you gonna fail, you gonna mess up, it's gonna happen, like, just keep moving. If you spend time worrying about your mistakes, you're never gonna make progress, you know. And sometimes these things are easier to say than they are to actually do, but again, going back to what we started with, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to say, hey, I need some help. I got to talk to somebody. It's okay to, you know, reach out to folk. It's okay to say, I'm dealing with some depression right now. Things aren't going right. I'm overwhelmed. It's okay. And I can't stress that enough. Like, there's a organization that I follow that's geared for mental health, specifically for the aviation industry. And but what they do and how they approach it parallels in so many other areas. And, you know, I think that that's awesome that they took that step. They saw that it was lacking and that it was needed. And I mean, you know, we go to these jobs 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, you know, sometimes more. And listen, at the end of the day, whether corporate America likes to, you know, admit it or not, you know, they talk about, hey, we're a family. Well, no, we not. You might be a family, but I'm a number. You know, and I mean, that's the reality behind it. And, you know, and sometimes that gets rough because I got real things going on at home that are affecting my mental abilities, my emotional stability, my physical, you know, and your mental health can affect your physical health as well. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that. And so again, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to, you know, say, hey, I need some help. And I want to stress to anybody that's watching, you know, if you ain't got nobody else to talk to, man, shoot us a message. Shoot any one of us a message, you know, privately. Otherwise, for me, I don't care. If I'm awake, I'll talk to you. You know, it doesn't matter to me. If I'm awake and I'm free and I'm not already caught up with something, I'm definitely going to talk to you. And if I miss the message, as soon as I see it, I'm going to respond to you. You know, because sometimes that's all we need. You know, I know from a veteran perspective, it's hard to talk about certain things with someone who hasn't experienced those things. And I would assume that it's like that in a lot of areas of life, you know? So with that being said, you know, I think I can speak for everybody that's on the show when I say you can reach out to any one of us and we'd be willing to talk to you. You know, if there was anything that we can do, you know, but with that being said, I know, you know, we'll probably kind of continue some other aspects of this topic going through the rest of the month here. I know my kid graduates in a couple weeks, about a week and a half, graduates from high school. So I got that on my plate. I know Dax's son graduates next week, so he won't be here next week. Danny, I know. When are you sliding out?
Around the 26th. Okay. 27th.
You'll be down and out for a little bit.
I got a shout out for my son.
Okay, okay.
His birthday on Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yes.
How old is he?
Gonna have a
9-year-old. Yes. Whew. Well, happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday. Laying with his bearded dragon right now.
So okay.
We're gonna go camping this weekend and have some fun with him.
All right.
But since we're giving shout outs, I got a shout out to my son getting ready to open up that business up in Lakewood over by the mall in Jamestown.
Awesome.
The second go-to meals location.
Awesome.
Working on it now, waiting for the grand opening. Local kid, local businessman, expanding into a new area. Minority, you know. If you see them, let them hook you in with that smile, and you'll love them forever. He'll give you that half smile, and the baby face will have you buying go-to meals.
That doesn't work after your first meal, you'll keep buying the meals, because the meals are fire.
But, you know, big shout out to him, man. I know he can't wait for that place to open, and, you know, he's up there putting in that work, you know. So, big shout out.
Definitely. Okay. Congrats on that, for real. With that being said, we can go around final thoughts. We'll go ahead and wrap up the night.
My final thought is mental health is real. Mental health's an issue. In Cattaraugus County, it's real. But, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And reach out for help. You You know, there's resources all over Cattaraugus County. Reach out. You know, if you need any help finding resources, reach out to one of us. We can help.
Mm-hmm.
We all know somebody who works in the field. I'm in the field. We can help you find the resources you need, get you on the right path, get you, you know, back. But understand, like, there's nothing wrong with having a mental health diagnosis. And if done correctly, it'll never hold you back from anything that you ever wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The world is still yours. And if you, you know, let us help you or anybody else help you get the right treatment, and the world is still yours. You can still have conquer anything you want.
Definitely.
I just kind of want to echo what Danny was saying. If you need help, reach out. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask one of us. We'll be glad to give you that map on where to get help. It is a real thing that you can't see on the outside of people, and people are struggling, especially now more than ever. And I'm here always. I know you guys are more than welcome to help anybody that reaches out to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you guys for that. I lean on you guys a lot. I lean on a few other people that are on here, but I thank you guys. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, it's okay. I can't reiterate it enough. It's okay to not be okay. It is okay to be overwhelmed. It's okay to, you know what, you're dealing with some depression. It's okay to acknowledge these things and to get help. It doesn't have to be taboo. It shouldn't be taboo. You shouldn't feel some kind of way about it. Listen, get help. You know, talk to somebody. And, you know, we say get help, get help, get help. Listen, sometimes it's just a matter of talking to somebody. You know, it doesn't have to be a big production all the time. You know, so reach out, talk to somebody, find somebody that, you know, can help you out. And, you know, like we've all said, you can reach out to us. Now, on the promo, there was the semicolon. You know, and when the semicolon is used, you know, it's used essentially because, you know, that statement, that portion of the story, that's not over yet. There's not a period there. There's a shift and a change, but it didn't stop. Your life is continuing, you know, so you might be walking in a moment where we got to put a semicolon. That's okay. Your life is still going on. It's still continuing, and you can still walk in that progression and still walk in that positivity. And so I want to encourage you with that. Most definitely. You know, appreciate you guys tuning in. I know we took a little bit of sabbatical last week. You know, I was under the weather. I'm going to try to make sure going forward that, you know, we miss as few weeks as possible. You know, I like to make sure we're on here, conversating with you guys and addressing various topics and different things that are going on. Again, we appreciate your guys' support, you know, and continue. You encourage us, and hopefully we can encourage you as well. And, you know, if you have ideas for topics of discussion, go ahead and shoot them over to us. We'll definitely take a look at them and possibly put them on the agenda, because we definitely want that involvement. But, you know, with that being said as well, I want to continue to push and shout out, you know, for Ezra running for Ward 4 here in Olean, working towards that the Democratic primary coming up here in June. I know early voting, I believe, is June 12th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I want to definitely continue that shout out, continue to show your support there. Definitely get out and vote, whether it's early voting or whether, you know, on the day of. But definitely want to show that support there and some positive changes hopefully coming that way. So definitely appreciate you stepping to the plate, Ezra, for real, with that. And with that being said, I don't have anything else. We appreciate you guys tuning in and watching and participating. And, you know, we'll catch you next time on House Call. And we should be done.
Hold on 1 second, guys. I got to mute.
Yeah, live is done.
I'm talking away and I'm on mute. I said sorry I was late. I was at a meeting today about football.
Yeah, no worries.
Getting that started, making sure that these kids were taken care of.